Welcome to Module 16, Simulcasting. This one won't be very long after the long haul you just went through in the medication and drug testing section. Simulcasting. Simulcasting is legal because it's the only thing that we deal with pretty much that is overseen to a point on a federal level. The Interstate Horse Racing Act makes it legal to bet across state lines as long as what you are betting on is legal in both states. So basically, in the old days when they were trying to get the gangsters and Al Capone and that, it was illegal to make bets across state lines. This is how, along with tax fraud and evasion, this is how they got a handle on organized crime. But basically, the Interstate Horse Racing Act makes this activity legal as long as both it's legal and both parties have agreements. What I've provided in this site is the kind of a standard simulcast wagering agreement. That will really be the meat and potatoes of this this section. I will go through a few of the things on this on your notes page and give you the Reader's Digest version. But basically, what is simulcasting? Simulcasting was unheard of 20 years ago, and now it's the biggest part of any racetrack's business. Basically, when the racetrack sends its picture and or its information to another place for people to wager on that race, that is simulcasting. For example, Santa Anita in California, in Southern California, sends its signal and wagering information all over the country. And people at racetracks and different organizations, and they're generally racetracks though, all across the country can bet on Santa Anita races. And in fact, all of their money goes right into the Santa Anita pool. So whether you're sitting in Tucson, Arizona, or in the clubhouse at Santa Anita, you're still participating in betting on those races there. Historically, as simulcasting was evolving, the smaller racetracks were afraid that it would totally put them out of business, that no one, if you had the opportunity, would want to bet on those races if you could bet on the big name races, racehorses, and racetracks. In effect, it worked just the opposite, and all their fears were put to rest when now it's been shown that simulcasting has indeed kept some small racetracks open that otherwise would have certainly closed. For example, some small tracks in Idaho and Wyoming that only run part of the year due to a small population base and some weather conditions are able to simulcast all year long and bring in races for their patrons to bet on. These races, part, a very small percentage of what people bet on does stay in those areas and goes to enhance purses when the live meet comes. So instead of being the downfall of the small race meet, it has been the savior of those small tracks. Definitions. The host. The host is the track that conducts the live racing. The guest. The guest acquires the non-exclusive rights to receive the signal and accept wagers on that race. A secondary recipient is one that the host may allow the guest to rebroadcast or redistribute. In fact, it would take hops. Santa Anita sells to Turf Paradise. Turf Paradise takes the races, but also puts Santa Anita's races in with Turf, and they send it on to Prescott or to another racetrack somewhere else. What are the responsibilities of the host? They pay the uplink and the transponder. Basically, this is done using satellite time. And believe it or not, the racing industry is one of the biggest purchasers of satellite time of any industry in the country. The host will also make all the information available to the people taking the races or the guest as soon as possible. For example, post times, racing conditions, scratches, all that information that's very important if you're betting on these races and you might not have timely access to if not provided by the track. The guest accepts the host's wager types and takeout rates. Basically, the guests must follow the rules that are set forth in the state and the track that's offering the live races. They paid the fee to the guest to buy those races. Usually it's from the guest pays the host, for that signal, and it's usually 2-6% of the handle that they will bet on those races. The guest has to pay the fees to get that information and those pictures off the satellite, and that's called downlink, along with any telephone lines and any costs associated with the transmission of the information. All of these issues, including the shared expenses, which would include breakage and minus pools, which we will talk about particularly a little bit later on, which are very clearly stated in the contract. Every time one racetrack sells its signal and another buys it, there will be a contract. So you can imagine if there's a racetrack that sells to 100 different smaller tracks, they'll have 100 contracts out there. And in the same way, if you have a track that takes 20 or 30 signals, they have to have contracts with all of those at any given time. The regulatory body within that jurisdiction ensures that contracts are fully executed prior to any transmission of wagering dollars or signals.